3.
This is an experimental podcast in which we will... Hello, and welcome to our podcast. This is an experimental podcast in which we will discuss a subject that many people would never really question. Vampire cults in real life. Vampires have made their way into every medium and have grown in popularity over the years. I am Jared Wilson, the host of this podcast, as well as someone defending the vampire's right to assemble. And my co-host and I will discuss a few of the issues that have come along with this growing subculture.
Hello, my name is Jack, and I will be speaking on how vampire cults are harmful to our society.
Hello, everybody. My name is Koi, and I will be discussing the topic of vampire cults and why I believe that they cause no harm and why they have a place in our society.
Hello, I'm Michael. I'll also be talking about how vampire cults are harmful to society. Didn't like them anyways with the blood rites and stuff, so I'm pretty happy to be on this side.
Before we begin, I'd like to give a quick introduction to our subject of real-life vampires. Most people don't believe that vampires exist and that they are entirely fictional. However, there are some groups of people that not only believe vampires exist, but that they themselves are among the creatures. Some of these individuals feel as if they require some form of energy from humans, such as blood or other life force, to survive. This traditional feeding on blood or life force is why they believe they are vampires. These vampires generally come together and form groups or cults that occasionally make the news. These individuals are what we discussing the topic consider real-life vampires. Our first topic of the day is what specific characteristics or ways of life of the vampire subculture do you see as detrimental to society? Koi, what are your thoughts on this matter?
I do not believe that they have a detrimental impact to society. An article from the National Post details what life is like for these real-life vampires. There are interviews with actual vampires where they discuss their day-to-day lives. They do no harm and are just like regular everyday people. The only difference is their desire to drink blood. The blood they feed on is from individuals who willingly donate for their own consumption. They are not bloodthirsty fiends that go prowling through the night and attack their victims. They live their lives like regular people, and you most likely wouldn't even notice them if you passed them on the street.
I'm gonna have to disagree. Vampire cults are definitely hurtful to society, and there are many examples. According to a case study about vampire cults in rural America, the people who join these groups are lacking in close friends, demonstrate excessive dependency, low self-esteem, and social anxiety. Thus, these groups have tendencies to do harmful things or turn violent. An example would be a group of Kentucky teenagers who labeled themselves as the Vampire Clan. They were a group of around 30 or so members who regularly participated in vampire-like activities, such as drinking each other's blood. Four of them actually got together and murdered one of the parents of their cult members because the parents had neglected their friend as a child. The leader of the clan wanted to open the gates to hell, which meant killing a large number of people and consuming their souls. The leader, Rod Farrell, would become the youngest person ever to be placed on death row in the United States. If these groups or cults were just exploring a unique lifestyle with some out-of-the-norm behaviors, that would be one thing. But this is just one instance where they got out of control and ended the lives of two innocent people. People in the United States have the right to assemble as they feel free, and they can partake in any activities that aren't directly against the law. But this clearly shows that they can and often will act out of normal behavior, which impacts the lives of many.
I would say that this example could be an outlier. Most cult members who get together do so in a peaceful way and mean no harm to anybody. I think that since these cults are associated with vampires, they are perceived as scary or crazy due to the view of vampires in our society. However, they do not view themselves as the ghouls we read about or see on TV. They are people who believe they need blood in order to live or keep themselves happy, and they do so in nonviolent or innocent ways. They gather just like any other group with a similar interest would. There are outliers in pretty much every group, and I think this is one of those instances.
Yes, that's true, but in my opinion, these outliers are enough to sway my stance on the subject. If there are even just a handful of groups that partake in any violent outbursts, such as the one I mentioned above, then I believe that shows the harmful threat they pose to the public as a whole. As the saying goes, a few bad apples spoil the bunch, and I think that applies to the situation here.
So Michael, speaking of a few bad apples spoiling the bunch, would you say that there are negative aspects or impacts that the vampire cultures represent?
Of course. Everything they do, from bloodletting to idealizing one that many, including myself, find unholy, is negative enough to cause me nightmares. These guys believe that what they are doing has no effect on society as a whole as long as they keep it under wraps. But it's obvious that they're just a bunch of psychos that like blood a little bit too much. They even have a classification for their little disease, Renfield syndrome. I don't know about you guys, but personally I think that they should be treated as what they are, psychiatric patients. I would not be able to sleep at night knowing that a group similar to the vampire clan is still roaming the streets.
But Michael, how does this really negatively impact anybody? According to a New York Daily News article, which was written using first-hand accounts from people who believe they actually are vampires, most vampires get their blood from donations from friends or in return for favors. In fact, a large amount of vampires don't even drink blood. They get their energy from physical touch. No blood at all. There's no harm in these cases, and it's all consensual. This culture offers a place for many people who would normally be seen as outcasts, and a case study by Megan White and Hatim Omar found that the subculture gave people a sense of belonging.
Then they can find other hobbies besides this one. Look, I understand that these people feel outcasted by society as a whole due to their nature, but there are better coping mechanisms out there that can do just as good a job as vampirism. Hell, even better. This hobby of theirs runs the risk of inviting unsavory types to take advantage of their action to commit some real crimes. In addition, it also runs the risk of spreading horrible blood-borne diseases like hepatitis B, like a wildfire, making them a liability that not only affects them, but affects their friends and their family, and you know, everyone around them in general. This sort of behavior is why the cults in places like Europe and, you know, deep in Central Asian cultures had many common bloodborne diseases we know of today, and plenty more that we haven't seen since after they were stopped. If they wanted to de-stress, then they can exercise or something.
Yes, but it's more than just about de-stressing. It's about how people cope with issues and make it through their days. I admit that I believe there are better ways to cope and deal with mental and emotional issues, but they still don't generally affect people who are not directly involved. According to T.W. Miller, adolescents are attracted to these cults and groups because they are offered a good community that's cool and that accepts them and allows them to be themselves. These people could probably do something else, but to them, those other options were closed. They were invited into these cults, and many avoided things such as suicide and self-harm.
Jared, I can see your point, but honestly, I still cannot agree with their actions. We can go all day arguing about the positive and negative aspects about vampire cults and, you know, sucking blood, but I feel like it might just turn to mudslinging at the end. I'll just end it here by saying this. If they cross the line once, they can certainly do it again.
Alright, then I'll move on. Now, Koi, I have to ask about how in vampire media, there's been a rising trend where vampires are seen as the good guys or as misunderstood. Can you say that this is the same for the cults that they inspired?
I believe that this could certainly be the case. If they look up to the vampires that are portrayed as good in pop culture, then they would probably be inspired to do good things. One example could be used from the National Post article I mentioned above. It described a charity event where one vampire community came together and fed the homeless in the area. Many big organizations start out as small groups or cults, so they could evolve into something bigger one day, which could lead to them hosting more charity events and helping more people. Acts like this could very well be inspired by the positive portrayal of vampires in the media today.
Or it could be that they're just good people. Just because some guys one day decided to give back does not mean that they are good or misunderstood as a whole. An example of this can be seen in Twilight. Within the books and the film, the vampire, Edward, is portrayed as, for the most part, the good guy. However, he treated his love interest and protagonist of the story, Bella, pretty roughly. Although he is clearly the protagonist, he checks off everything found in an abusive partner. Sure, a so-called good cult can do some good deeds to show off that they're not the dangerous society that they really are, but it also allows them to normalize the more heinous crimes as something a good person is allowed to do. Unless you can reassure me that almost every vampire cultist out there has no especially bad skeleton in the closet that they want to get rid of, they're still evil.
I personally think that popular culture has given rise to the misunderstood hero, or underdog vampire. This gives an impression of hope and allows people to connect with them in times of struggle. This could move into the cults that people form and join and inspire people to become the guardians and safe space for those who feel like they've been trampled on by society. This could be people from broken homes, people who are homeless, or even people who feel like they weren't given a fair assessment as an individual.
Then they should just be like everyone else and create a self-help group. One that isn't dominated by vampires. Don't get me wrong, I like the idea of more people becoming heroes, but I don't think that they need to be vampires in particular. Like I said, if we allow them to believe that they are just, then it just opens a whole new can of worms that we haven't even dreamed of. We do not need vampires to gain that courage. We need them to be cured so they can function like everyone else.
Yeah, I disagree, though, that they should be just like everyone else, as this is what makes them unique. Everybody has their own interests, and this just happens to be theirs, and you can't really take that away from somebody. They aren't doing any harm in their practices, as I've learned, so I say we let them be and let them do what they enjoy doing. I will agree, though, that they should be helped to find a cure, and I believe some may as well. There are some groups that believe they have a medical condition that requires them to drink blood to function properly. In the National Post article, one of the vampires interviewed talks about how they need blood in order to feel good. It says many of us would rather not go through the cyclic symptoms and just be happy to live life like a normal person. I think if people knew more about this and they were taken more seriously, they would have the chance to be treated for this illness.
And that goes into our final topic. How are the real-life vampires perceived by the public? From what I've experienced in life, I would have to say that real-life vampires are seen as a joke or people with mental health issues. Even in the media, they're seen as this. In the article, The Mind of a Murderer, Rod Farrell, the vampire-obsessed teen, Death Row's youngest, James Ray treats Rod Farrell's case as some nut job who's obsessed. Cases like this have created a very negative image of vampires and those who associate with them. The public loves pop culture that involves vampires, but the moment it crosses over into our reality, the mood changes abruptly. People are unfairly judged because some individuals have other issues that aren't properly addressed and give these groups bad reputations. What is your take, Jack?
I'm going to agree with you, Jared, mainly because the public often knows little about the realities of what a real-life vampire is actually like. They use the knowledge that they have gotten through movies, shows, books, and folktales to shape their perception of them. This idea that the public has gotten through pop culture would not shape real-life vampires in a very good light. They are often displayed as ugly, unrelatable monsters that stop at nothing to get the blood that they are desperately craving. This, along with the fact that the general public has little to no interaction with the real-life vampire culture, would likely shape their opinion very negatively. Also, the only times that the general public would hear about vampires is when they are in the headlines and news for criminal and violent acts. This paints a hostile image of vampires, so when the public does finally interact with them in the subculture, they likely already have a negative connotation associated with it. People are often quick to judge or determine things, groups, or ideas without actually looking into or researching it for themselves.
Definitely. Even with the rise of beautiful, misunderstood good guy vampires, public opinion of real-life vampires is still low. Until our research, I hadn't even known that there were large vampire groups out there. I had known that there were some small subcultures here and there that were associated with goth and Satanism, but I didn't know about one being on the size level of the Atlanta Vampire Alliance, which has at least 15,000 members.
Yeah, I definitely think that a lack of exposure is a main factor in the public's preconceived notion about vampires. Like you said, even with the rise of the good guy vampire, I still feel most people think about vampires as more of a traditional Dracula-style vampire, rather than the beautiful ones of modern time. For example, when you see people dressing up as vampires on Halloween, they are always the scary monster types from the past, which shows how they interpret them today.
Definitely. And on that note, I feel like this is the perfect place to wrap things up. We've made our claims and defended our arguments. Are these vampires real? Is it just an excuse that crazy people use? Is there some merit to what these individuals are saying? We've said our parts and spoken our minds, but it's up to you to come to that judgment yourselves. Thank you for tuning in to our first experimental podcast. I am your host, Jared Wilson, and I am signing out.
I'm Michael, and personally, I still think that vampires suck.
I'm Corey, and I hope this podcast helps you come to an opinion yourself.
And I'm Jack. Thanks for listening, and I hope you learned some information that you can take with you into the rest of your life. Thanks.
See ya. All right.